After a devastating shutout loss to the San Francisco 49ers, the New Orleans Saints have elected to continue to compete. And you know what? I admire the decision. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credential member of the media, CrescentCitySports.com, USA Today, Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. On today's episode, we're taking a look at Paulson Adebo and Alante Taylor, who continue to improve and impress. And there's a couple of qualities that Dennis Allen said today that these two players embody that the team should be embodying as well. We'll break that down. We're also going to break down the New Orleans Saints' third down woes. It is Analytics Tuesday, after all, so we'll dive into the numbers there. But first and foremost, the New Orleans Saints, I commend them, if I'm being honest, for choosing to continue to fight and compete at this stage in the season. I'm recording this on Monday night. Monday afternoon, we had media availability with head coach Dennis Allen. And one of the things that DA had to say is that they've got five games left and they intend to go out there and complete their expletives off, their behinds off, their tookuses, if you will, off. And they're going to just kind of see what happens. The reason why I bring this up isn't because it should give you hope that the New Orleans Saints are going to end the season on a five-game run and finish up 9-8, because highly unlikely that that happens just by the odds of things in the NFL. But what it does tell you is that this team isn't yet going to enter its evaluation process where they just try to get a look at the young guys and sort of say, okay, well, let's start to plan for the offseason, who we keep in, who's on the way out, all those other things. And they're also not in a situation to where they're going to just kind of like lay down and let this season end. It seems instead, at least from the coaching staff perspective and the exterior perspective, that their intent is to compete and to fight. And if you're a New Orleans Saints fan, even if you punted on the season already, which who could blame you at this point, you are still being shown something important here, which is that this organization, just like they promised that they would over the course of the offseason, going into this year when people were already writing this franchise off, we're saying, hey, we're competing. That's exactly what it is that Mickey Loomis told you. That's exactly what it is that Dennis Allen told you once he got the job as the head coach, so on and so forth. Now, have they competed to the level that people expected them to? Have they competed to the level that you expected them to? No, certainly not, right? This is a 4-8 football team that just got shut out for the first time in 332 games. That are struggling in a lot of areas that we have watched this franchise excel at over the course of the past 16 seasons since 2006. So a lot of this is still new terrain, new territory, and certainly a new situation for you if you're a Saints fan, at least if you're a recent Saints fan. Honestly, it doesn't even matter. If you're a lifelong Saints fan, if you've been around since 67 watching this New Orleans Saints team, this is still a change of pace based upon what you've seen over the past decade and a half. So it's good news, I think, and I commend the Saints, I commend this team for saying, you know what, going to go out there and compete and see what happens. And I don't think that that is promising too much. I don't think that's under-promising. It puts them in a position to over-deliver as opposed to under-deliver. I understand sort of the politics of it, but at the same time, it's kind of what you were hoping that this team can be. So hopefully, if nothing else, they can be fun down the stretch. Throw, you know, all precaution to the wind, and you've got a big time rivalry game on national television up again, or not big time rivalry game, but a division rivalry game, I'll say, up against a division opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in their house on national television for Monday Night Football. Throw caution to the wind and lean in on Taysom Hill, lean in on Alvin Kamara, lean in on your big time playmakers, take the shots downfield, all of that. Do another one of those little reverse passes that ends up in Jameis Winston's hands so he can throw a touchdown against his former team like the Saints did in the playoffs a few years ago. Throw it all out there. Like, just throw the playbook out on the field. Give the rest of the NFL your playbook for the rest of the year because you laid it all out on Monday Night Football. Whatever. But just go out there and be fun and compete. And as Dennis Allen said, compete your behinds off and then see what happens. I'll remind you that the alternative here is that they're a bad team and a boring team. And that's about the worst thing that you can ask for right now. That's Houston Texans level bad organization stuff. That's not who the New Orleans Saints are. And I was hoping that that's not who the New Orleans Saints would be for the final five games of the season. So don't expect this team to tap out. Don't expect this team to sign itself off. Don't expect this team to give up at any point, regardless of what they have or don't have to play for. They're not paying attention to the standings anymore. They're not paying attention to the division anymore. They're not looking to see what their opponents are doing. And this is good because in just a little while, I'm going to tell you how the Saints have been defined by their opponents. So it's good to see them, at least with the intent coming out of this game, that they will define themselves and will define the end of their own season. I think that's a good thing coming from this New Orleans Saints organization. You take into consideration players like DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, Chris Olave, who I know is a rookie, but does he not look like a veteran out there? And he's the best receiving that the Saints have right now. You still have Jarvis Landry on this team, Tyrann Mathieu. You have Marshawn Lattimore, hopefully, potentially back to see his son, Mike Evans, next week. There's a lot of different opportunities here for them to at least compete for those guys, right? Not lose the locker room here by giving up. Sean Payton was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd earlier this week, and he was talking about how the NFL seems likely that it's going to move to a lottery system eventually, which, by the way, I think it's a terrible idea because you're going to end up like kind of just burying these teams in HE double hockey sticks for a long time. And I'm not super into that idea. I like the fact that if you're the worst team in the NFL, you get the first shot at making your team better. But a big conversation around this is starting to kind of perpetuate now because of Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback, formerly of other teams, but ended up transferring over to USC, and former big time LSU target and all that. But he's a guy that people look at as a generational talent, Sean Payton included. And so that was one of the things he was talking about, was like the lottery system stuff. I'd love to hear your opinions on the idea of the NFL going to a lottery system, by the way. I'm not a big fan of it, but maybe, you know, you can convince me otherwise. Maybe I'm just overlooking certain things. But I think that one of the things that he highlighted was that if you're one of those teams that does tank at the end of the year, that, you know, that Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so that they can maintain the first overall selection and get Jameis Winston, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles from a few years ago when you throw Nate Sudfeld out there out of nowhere, that was one of the other examples that Sean Payton had, that you lose a little bit of the locker room. And the New Orleans Saints are one of those teams that could be teetering on the edge there. None of us that are in the locker room see any signs of the locker room being lost, but there are certainly times on the field where fans have questioned that, right? Did this player just give up? Did this player just give up? All of that. I think that happens kind of intuitively if you're a fan and you're watching a football team that's struggling, right? Like, you kind of wonder those things anyway. But being in the locker room, there's not really been a lot of signs that the locker room has been lost at all. But if you were to go out there for these last five games and just say, you know, well, screw it, we'll just go out there and like, let's get this over with, you will lose that locker room. And if you're Dennis Allen, you want another shot in 2023, the locker room is your ticket to that shot in 2023. If that locker room turns around and says, this ain't it, then that's going to be something that Gail Benson, as well as Mickey Loomis and Dennis Lasher, the president, have to take into consideration in their decisions when it comes to the coaching staff. So I like seeing Dennis Allen come out there in front of us all and say, we intend to compete, we intend to fight. And there are a couple of players that embody that spirit that we're going to discuss as we continue on with today's episode as well. But first, New Orleans Saints, last four games, we've heard it over and over again, need to be better on third down, need to be better on third down, need to be better on third down. What isn't working? Why they've been struggling in that department, and what would help them? We've got that coming up for you as we continue on with our Analytics Tuesday episode of Locked On Saints. Before we get to that, I want to tell you today's episode is brought to you by Turo. Turo, T-U-R-O, is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car that you want, anywhere that you want, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for any occasion or budget from across the US, the UK, Canada, and soon coming to Australia as well. Book a spacious SUV or minivan if you've got, let's say, a family trip or something like that on the way, or maybe you want a classic or luxury vehicle for a special occasion like a birthday or a holiday, those types of things. You can find affordable economy cars as well that fit your budget. If you're just trying to go from point A to point B, you can even test drive the new electric cars and get a Tesla and see what it's like and see if that fits your everyday style of life. Many Turo hosts will even deliver the car directly to you as well. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget about boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. Hey, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. How are the New Orleans Saints, or how have the New Orleans Saints been so bad on third downs, and what would help them fix it? Well, some of it is a part of that identity crisis that we've discussed in over the course of the past couple of episodes. Appreciate you very much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget to also go and check out Locked On Sports Today as well, hosted by Peter Bukowski, as well as our merry band of folks all across here on the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you beyond the scoreboard, behind the scenes, with only the local insights that the Locked On local insiders and experts can provide. Find that on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Here is Dennis Allen when I asked him on Monday in his post or his day after presser about why it is that the New Orleans Saints have been struggling on third downs and sort of where he pinpoints things. There's one specific nugget that he drops here that we'll explore a little bit further, and I'll tell you why I have a couple of questions about it.
Well, there's a few things. One, getting into enough manageable third down situations. And then number two, just the precision and the execution of the play. And I think, again, when you play the good teams in our league, like the 49ers are, and I think they're one of the better teams in our league, you know, from an overall standpoint, offense, defense, kicking game. I think they're well coached. You have to put yourself in positive situations, and then when you're in those situations, you have to execute. And if you're a step off, then those usually end up in non-conversions as opposed to conversions.
So a couple of key points there that Dennis Allen makes, all of which are valid points, but there's some concerning stuff in there that kind of piqued my interest a little bit. The first of which is this idea that you have to be able to put yourself in third and manageable situations. That's not something that's out of the ordinary. It's not groundbreaking. That's not a hot take from Dennis Allen. Like, that's what every offense tries to do. Every offense tries to be successful on first and second down so that when they get to third down, they're third and manageables. The issue for the New Orleans Saints is that oftentimes you're talking about third and manageable, you're basically talking about like third and six or less, right? You're talking about third and six, third and five, third and four, 3-2-1. The Saints haven't been successful, though, over the course of the past four games in there. So that kind of in that range. So that does kind of go to the next piece that Dennis Allen talks about, is that when you do get to those moments, you have to be able to execute. You have to be able to produce. So let's just break this down, though. So we're going to look at two different specific categories here. I broke this down further. It'll be coming out in an article over at saintswire.usatoday.com if you want to look at the rest of the landscape in terms of the Saints' third down woes over the course of the past four games. But we're going to effectively break this down looking at a total of 25 snaps, right? So these are 25 third and six or shorter snaps that the New Orleans Saints have had over the course of the past four games. We'll break them down into two categories, third and zero to three, which we'll call third and short. And then we'll call third and manageable third and four through six, right? So it's third and four, third and five, third and six. Starting off with third and manageable, four through six, the Saints are 3-11 in that category. This is part of the getting yourself into manageable situations or plus situations in which they're more manageable than a third and seven or longer, a third and 10, a third and nine, a third and 11, some third and 14s the Saints have seen over the course of the past couple of weeks. So the issue is that even when the Saints are getting into those positions where they are manageable third downs, they're still not converting those. That's an average of 27.3%. Just to keep in mind, the NFL's average over the course of the entire season when it comes to third and four through six is 42%. That's a 15% drop-off in terms of where the rest of the NFL is and where the New Orleans Saints have been over the course of the past four games. They're different sample sizes, but still, it's all averages, right? The other piece is third and short, which would be third and one through three. The technical classification is third and zero through three, but if it's third and zero, you're maybe talking about like third and inches, perhaps, but otherwise you're talking about first and 10. So anyway, third and one through three, we'll call it. The Saints are 8-14, which looks really good. That's 57.1%. NFL average across the entire season is 55.9%, not taking into account third downs picked up by penalty in those situations. But the thing to keep in mind here is that that's a good number, but you're still kind of conflicted about the good number, and here's why. 4 of 5 were the New Orleans Saints in third and short, that's 80%, up against the 49ers in the game in which they were shut out. So 80%, a hefty kind of scale or push for that positive percentage that we just discussed that the Saints have had on third and short over the course of the past 4 games, all came in one game. If you look at the games against the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Rams, the Saints are just 4 of 9 in those games, 44%, well below that 55.9% NFL average. So what I mean to say here is, and I know it's a lot of numbers, so it can be a lot, so here's the big takeaway to remember, is that even though the Saints have actually been good here in third and short situations over the course of the past 4 games, it's a little bit of a swollen number because of how successful they were against the San Francisco 49ers there. The other sort of concerning, but the other one that kind of piqued my interest that Dennis Allen mentioned was that they played good third down teams and third down defenses over the course of the past few games. And that's true. San Francisco 49ers, of course, one of the best in the NFL there, but they're one of the worst in the NFL when it comes to third and short. So them being 4 of 5 up against the 49ers defense, which was allowing an NFL worst 78% conversion percentage to teams that had third and shorts, not that impressive. So the issue here is that the Saints are being defined by the defenses that they're playing against when it comes to third down. They're successful against the teams that are bad, which is why they've not converted more than 4 third downs since the Las Vegas Raiders game. And when they are good in certain areas, when you break these down and look a little bit more minute, third and short, third and manageable, third and long, third and longer, they're only producing when they're going up against the NFL's worst defense in those specific categories, which was the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. And the Saints were still in that game only 4 of 11 when it came to third down conversions and third down tests, 36%, which is kind of where they've been hovering over the course of the past 4 games. They've not converted more than 4 third downs in a single game since that game against the Raiders, which they won. And so when I look at this, what I see, instead of a team that is defining itself in these marquee situational moments, right? Third downs, red zone possessions, things like that, even goal to go situations like we saw against the San Francisco 49ers, if the team they're going up against is good in that category, they struggle. If the team that they're going up against is awful in that category, then they find success. They're not defining their own destiny. They're being defined situationally by the teams that they are lining up across from. That is the sign of an unhealthy team right now, right? And that's not a surprise. It's not a hot take. It's not anything that you haven't heard before. Like, you've watched these games. New Orleans Saints have struggled, and they are struggling when they're going up against good teams. They're finding success when they're going up against teams that are bad in certain categories, and you don't want to be defined by that. You want to be a good team by your own margins. You want to be a good team by your own standards. That's one of the reasons why I like the fact that the Saints are saying, we're going to compete and fight and sort of see what happens. I like that attitude because that allows the Saints to define themselves as opposed to being defined by the players and the team that they line up across from. Two players in particular, Dennis Allen mentioned, embody exactly that spirit of competition and fighting. Who are those two players? Well, you already know. We kind of teased it a little bit earlier, right? Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo. These guys continue to impress. These guys continue to improve. What does that mean for the New Orleans Saints moving forward, who are going to have a big decision to make potentially this coming week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? We got that coming up for you as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible, AUDIBLE. Just like Omaha, Omaha, what Peyton Manning would call. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that you are going to love. I'm going to tell you about one called Block Forever, which is now available wherever you get your podcast. Block Forever is a brand new podcast that stars former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. This is really cool. Khalil takes the conversation around football to the next level. I love when these guys who have been out there and done it come out and start to tell their stories and have conversations with other players that either are playing right now or that have stories to share from their playing days. So you're going to get stuff from star players like Christian McCaffrey, who talks about his love-hate relationship with fantasy football. Juju Smith-Schuster goes in-depth with some of the really honest opinions that he has on other players and positions in the league. Really fun conversation there, by the way. Ryan also discusses topics with players that go a little bit beyond your on-field X's and O's, player psyche, sports betting. He also talks about playing through pain, being a leader, and even, and you'll love this in case you have difficult coworkers, how to deal with combative teammates. Lots of really good stuff here because nothing is out of bounds over on Block Forever. You can catch the full Block Forever series available anywhere that you get your podcasts, available everywhere. Now, Audible, get in the game. Let's get it, Who Dat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with a look at Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo, the Saints' current starting cornerbacks, and how much they have continued to improve and impress the literal embodiment of what the New Orleans Saints say that the team wants to be. Here's Dennis Allen when I asked him about Alante Taylor and his performance. He had said some things earlier on in the offseason about needing to show that he can stay healthy and things like that. Alante Taylor also discussed that as well. And so I asked, okay, well, you've seen him be healthy now. So how do you feel about his development and where he is in terms of his ability to contribute? Here's what DA had to say.
I think he's getting better. I feel like both him and Paulson Adebo, I think, really improved, you know, specifically over the last few weeks. I think one health-wise from Paulson's standpoint, and I just think just from the standpoint of getting out and playing, I think Alante Taylor's showing us why we liked him in the draft and why we drafted him. And I just like the way that those two guys go out and fight and compete. And I think that's part of what we have to be as a team.
I think that's part of what we have to be as a team. So this is part of the fighting and competing that, you know, DA opened his presser with and sort of discussed how, like, this is a team that has five games left and they intend to go out there and compete and fight. And so he credits Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo as being two players that represent that. What a cool kind of compliment for these two players that have really gone out there, and particularly over the course of the remaining, let's say, most recent stretch of games, these guys have balled out. Remember, they were a part of a team that kept, or a duo that kept Brandon Ayuk to 5 catches for 65 yards, that kept Deebo Samuel to 3 catches on 7 targets, by the way, for 43 yards. These guys kept those two playmakers effectively at bay. I mean, even to an extent, George Kittle as well, who only had 3 catches for 26 yards. Alante Taylor ended up on coverage on him a couple of times in this matchup. And I think that's one of the reasons why maybe folks maybe expected Alante Taylor to play a little bit more in the slot, but of course he's only played like 31 slot snaps in his entire career so far, not including preseason, but going back to his collegiate days. So maybe in the 40s, if you include some preseason stuff. I don't think you're going to see Alante Taylor in the slot very much because that's just not something that he has ever done in his career. So I was a little bit surprised personally when I saw that Bradley Roby was starting on the outside opposite Paulson Adebo, and that Chris Harris was playing in the slot. And we saw what happened with Chris Harris there. I mean, an egregious penalty, just a really unforgivable mistake there, an inexplicable penalty. And so I was surprised that Bradley Roby, who was supposed to start the season in the slot, had it not been for Paulson Adebo having early injuries and things like that, was all of a sudden the outside. Then, you know, come to find out they're actually rotating these guys a little bit. Bradley Roby played a series, Paulson Adebo played a series, Bradley Roby played another series. Seems a little bit like, I get a little skeptical about the idea of like testing stuff out in the middle of a game in week 12, but hey, that's how, you know, it's not necessarily testing stuff out, I guess. The Saints were looking at certain matchups maybe, but, or game situations. But anyway, Paulson Adebo has been outstanding with Alante Taylor opposite him. Alante Taylor has continued to play well. Bradley Roby ended up being injured. He had to go get checked for a concussion, did not return the game, only played 18 snaps. So with the remaining sort of 21, you saw Alante Taylor out there at right cornerback. So Alante Taylor's coverage on the day, he allowed a 100% completion percentage, but it was on 2 targets. So it was 2 catches on 2 targets for 29 yards with a long of 20. So 1 for 20, 1 for 9 yards. Yeah, one maybe got away from a little bit with the catch and run there, 11 yards after catch allowed, but not a bad game for him at all. 118.8 passer rating when targeted. That was the highest passer rating that he's allowed so far in a game this season. He had the interception too, though, remember, and that was a great play by him, good coverage by him. It just got called back due to an illegal hand to the face penalty, which didn't really have any impact or open up the opportunity for Alante Taylor to get the interception, aside from maybe that kept Chris Harris's man open or covered. And so Jimmy Garoppolo had to go that way towards Alante Taylor, but it's kind of a BS call anyway, right? So like when you look at it, it was just Alante Taylor's play. It's just, it unfortunately got taken away from him. Paulson Adebo had, from a numbers perspective, a much better day, but let's not say that Alante Taylor had a bad day because he didn't. But Paulson Adebo was targeted 7 times in this game, allowed only 3 catches, which includes 2 pass breakups. Technically should be credited, I believe, with 3 pass breakups and maybe an additional forced incompletion that would take his forced incompletion percentage from 29% to over 50% to right about 55.7% if they were to have credited those appropriately, in my opinion. But with the receptions that he allowed, 3 catches for just 35 yards, and that included a 27-yard catch and run. And so you're looking at, you know, what, quick math, well, obviously not that quick, but 8 yards on the other 2 receptions, 58.6 passer rating when targeted. I mean, really, really good stuff. And the secondary, by the way, tackling, awesome. Only 4 missed tackles, but a total of 24 tackles on the day. So really, really good stuff from the secondary. And that includes guys that were in coverage and stuff like that, you know, that were in, you know, safeties and stuff like that. So really, really good stuff by this New Orleans Saints defense, who, again, I believe gave the Saints an opportunity to win this one. I mean, again, they held the San Francisco 49ers only 13 points. It was just the offense that couldn't really seem to get things right. We'll see how that offense has the ability to bounce back, and if they have the ability to bounce back against a familiar opponent. They've got 5 more games. 3 of them are familiar opponents. 3 of them are division opponents. So we'll see how the New Orleans Saints go. But I love the fact that they're saying, hey, focusing on competing, not focused on the standings, not focused on the playoffs, not focused on anything else. And like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to do anything with these 5 games, that they're going to win out. Like, I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything or tell you that, hey, everything's going to be fine with these New Orleans Saints. They're going to end with a 9-8 record. I don't think so, but I just love the fight from this team. And guys like Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo are absolutely embodying that. All right, we got some other in-depth stats to take a look at. Kentavious Street had his biggest day with 5 pressures. New Orleans Saints came up with the 3rd most pressures that they've had so far this season with 20 total. How did they do it? We'll kind of combine the rest of our analytics breakdown along with Film Watch Wednesday tomorrow. What's going on with the New Orleans Saints run game? Why isn't it working? And what can they introduce? Why the New Orleans Saints pass rush has taken on a new life? And of course, we've got some media availability on Tuesday as well. So I'll fill you in on some of the conversations that we have with some of the players that we're expected to get. So we got all that coming up for you on Wednesday's episode, crossover Thursday on Thursday, and then our game plan episode on Friday. And we'll get an extra look at the Bucks on Monday as well. So I appreciate you as always for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Every day for your second listen, make sure you go and check out that Locked On Sports Today podcast. Get all the news that you need around the wild world of sports in around 20 to 25 minutes each and every Monday through Friday, available in the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again for making Locked On Saints a part of your day, part of your routine, for saying yes to me and the show. As always, if you see me, say hi. And if you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.